We've got Alan Pollock with a tech update. He is a tech industry advisor and so much more than just tech, but Alan's here with a tech update. What you got, friend?
Good to be here, David. Thank you. So I was searching for tech jokes and I'm coming up short. A lot of them are dumb. This was the only one that made me chuckle just a bit. It's not even that good, but I'll share it. Everyone talks about how quick Amazon is, right? Some things you can get hour delivery, some things 24 hours, some things take longer. So somebody wrote a post and said, I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know. So what came first, right? The chicken or the egg?
Oh, that's bad.
They're waiting for their Amazon delivery. They'll find out. Let's move on to some good stuff. So David, a couple different things. First, if I just want to remind people, because it was a question that was asked of me and I brought it up last week, but how to talk to AI. So if you haven't heard just a few comments that we made last week, Mark Helm jumped in as well. Please go back to last week's episode. We talked just briefly about how to talk to AI. And there was just three quick things that I had mentioned just to remind you. You don't need to be nice. AI has no feelings. And you make sure you tell it who's the boss. And if you do those things, you can have more control over what you're telling AI and what it's receiving. Now, if you swear at it, it won't swear back to you. It'll tell you you've hurt its feelings or that it doesn't want to communicate in that fashion. But I'm not saying to be a jerk. But you can tell it, you can handle it, right? You can be the situation fixer, but make it do what you need and you'll get much better results. And Mark had some great comments on that as well. Now, David, I was looking around. I found some interesting things. It's a two-part conversation that I pieced together today. The first one is that I saw somebody's post on LinkedIn that talked about mortgage CRMs. And this person had said, which one is the best? And there was a whole bunch of people that commented, and this person, her name's Kelly Yale, by the way, give her some credit for her post. It was a very good post. There was 14 items that she listed in there, and she had some video where she talked about them, and the feedback of the people were really good. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. So why hire a consultant? This is a question that a lot of people have. And I know, David, you've been an industry coach and advisor for a very long time. You probably deal with a lot of these. But I'm seeing the trend where it's hard to make the right hire in technology. Whether it's go-to-market, building a product, whether it's integrating those vendors, managing vendor oversight, it's difficult. There is no one perfect way, but there's a lot of people that have had experience. And so regardless of building a new project or taking on a bunch of new vendors, whatever that is, why hire a consultant? And so I thought about it for a moment, and I found a couple really interesting items. And they range from consultants or subject matter experts. They're low risk and high reward. I saw some great things about streamlining processes, support during transitions, which was, I thought, very interesting. Project management's okay. I don't know if that's really one of the best ones, but here's three that I thought were just really interesting. And if you're thinking about hiring a consultant, especially for technology and product go-to-market, really it falls in line with everything. You want to think of these. The first is they want an outside eye, meaning that sometimes you're dealing with an issue in your life or in your company, and what would you typically do? You turn to friends and family, right? You should turn to an industry coach, an advisor, a consultant, especially when you're making tough decisions and getting that different perspective. The second one is you need extra horsepower, right? Problems that you're looking to overcome, they're really important, but you don't necessarily have the manpower to focus on them. You can't take your eye off the ball. You have other projects. You're working on day-to-day operations. So don't worry about who has that core job responsibility. That's when it's a good time to hire a consultant. You're trying to get something out before the next big conference, the next big announcement. Usually there's a timing of when press releases and your pilots go out. And if you're a lender, you're between contracts. You're trying to figure out, when am I really going to get this done? When do I have to have it done? When do I train everybody? Really important. And the training is going to come into the next part of this conversation. And then finally, a lot of companies want a safe zone, meaning there's no ambiguity, there's no hard feelings, there's no drama, right? You're bringing somebody with an outside opinion. They help you make decisions. They can work with the folks on your team, but they don't provide any risk to the folks on your team. So anyways, those are some really interesting ones. And now, David, and you probably, and Mark, you as well, probably can think back to those and consider times in your career where those have hit home. But I just want to go to this post by Kelly Yale. It was really interesting. So she listed 15 things, and they range from like, how long have you been in the business? Questions to ask the CRM platform, by the way. What's one aspect of your system that defines your uniqueness? What reporting makes sense? Do you have any AI baked into the system? And so I was reading some of the comments. And by the way, one of the companies I do some fractional consulting for, Candid, had messaged on that thread as well. But this was pretty interesting. This was a gentleman Andrew Watley, and he said, given the importance of a mortgage CRM to mortgage growth, perhaps the right question is, what expert can I find to help me through the process? And so Kelly wrote back and said, much of it's how it's implemented and trained. That's where I see the biggest holes in the industry. You can't just buy an iPhone and not know how to add an app or configure the settings, but to know the industry and how it works. And everybody wants that shiny thing. They lose interest once they've started figuring it out. So you need that coach. You need that person to help move it along. We've talked about this all the time. Kelly's exactly right. You can buy any software platform in our industry, but unless you are committed to bringing that on board, you're committed to the time and effort, you're committed to making it successful. Let's just round it up to that. Then you will have a successful implementation. And David, Mark, we've talked all the time about, we've got these vendors in our industry, they're all great. Everybody has built great, creative, innovative solutions. Everybody's integrated with somebody else. Everybody spent money on their tech, right? It's a matter of who's the right fit and who offers the coaching and who offers that partnership and that relationship. So hopefully I gave a couple good points on why you should work with a consultant or an advisor. I'll pause for some feedback from my cohorts here. And again, as always, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
David, back to you.
Yeah, always good to have you on the podcast, and always enjoy the content. Mark Helm, any questions that you have?
No, I want to make a comment, though, when you started off about the AI piece. I'm going to give everybody on the podcast a personal statement about AI that I think will be meaningful to you when you hear it. On the more mundane things that I do, when I get lazy, if I got to send out 10 memos, and I'm not sure how I want to word things, I've been thinking about them, I'll pick up my phone, I'll dictate something in AI, let them format it and clean it up for me. And I'm probably saving 75% of my time doing that. I still get my message. My message is what I dictate into the AI and say, format is in an email or whatever. And they do it. And then I go back in and edit it. But think about that, guys. I'm saving 75% of my time screwing with emails and memos. So if you're trying to be work efficient like I am, I'm a big believer in AI right now because it's helping me manage my schedule and allow me to knock things out really quick. And also fixing stupid things I say in emails that you don't realize are stupid until AI tells you it's stupid. I'm just a big believer in it. And I think if all of us used that, you'd find yourself doing a better, quicker job.
Yeah, I tell you, one of the things that I'm finding is that it is not a perfect world out there. Bard, which is now Gemini, which is Google's artificial intelligence, had a major black eye recently. It sounded like a great tool because you could create images. Create me an image of this or that, and you could put it all out there. But it was so woke. Ben Shapiro put out a report on this. And for example, give me an image or a picture of one of the kings of France. And it brought out a picture of an African-American. And there's never been an African-American. It became so obvious that Gemini, that Google had to take Gemini's photo creation down because it was so everything. There was no white males. And one of the things that ran in there was create a picture of a white male eating peanut butter toast or a peanut butter sandwich. It was coming up. It was putting in specific requests for an image of something that would bring back a white male. And it refused to do it. And so it was like there was such an agenda behind it. Literally, they got so much feedback on it that Google had to take that off the market. And so if you're looking for Gemini to go out, or what was Bard, now it's called Gemini. Alan, I'd love to get your thoughts. Did you hear the big dust up about that? The big thing?
I did. And I've used a couple other platforms like Ideology and some others that create images. It's sometimes very difficult to get it to make what you'd like. I did see all of that about Gemini. I use Gemini and ChatGPT. I'm not as much of a fan of Gemini. Some things were initially easier in Gemini and then ChatGPT quickly caught up, like uploading an image or a spreadsheet, things like that, PDF. But these things, that is one of the issues. There's biases. The way you speak to it, and I don't think we'll quickly get away from that. So we have to understand what they're good for and when to use them and how to apply them, which we mention each week here. By the way, David, there's a site, an AI tool. This thing is absolutely amazing. It's called explorer.globe.engineer. So if you just go in your browser and type that in, explorer.globe.engineer. and you get to it and it says finding everything humans know about. And I put in as an example, building an app in the mortgage industry. And this thing comes out and it gives you instant access. It combs the whole internet, gives you reports and insights, security measures with images and graphics, user-friendly interfaces. It recommends company, time-saving features. It talks about e-signature. It did all this with inside. The list goes on. It shows you data analytics. It gives you links to sites that have the analytics, all about building an app. It talks about integrations, workflow. I didn't have to tell it anything other than what I just told you early on. This thing is amazing. And if you're researching and you don't want the bias image generating, you can go to explore.globe.engineer. But my whole point in telling you that site, David, is just about that AI is just, it's gathering information and the weighting of what it gathers and what it tells you probably is going to continue to need some refinement.
Yeah, it's explore.globe.engineer.
Yep, explore.globe.engineer. Very cool site. The project is called Globe. That is the name of it. Yeah. And it's wild.
All right.
Alan, that's exciting to me because, again, you're using AI to save you hours and hours of research. Now, we still got that little bit that we got to be careful about that you can't believe everything you get in AI. But if you're they're doing quotes that you can back into, you're okay. But I think AI is one of the best things that's ever happened in the world as far as structure-based content and format and the ability it has, it can create what you're doing to a certain market of people. If I did one thing, want to say, if I was writing a senior about a reverse mortgage, how would you do the intro? You wouldn't believe what it gave me. It was something that would have taken me a couple hours to develop, but it was really good. So you can add that the parameters up there, maybe that other AI was doing things it shouldn't have done, but you can add how you want to approach it. You can write something for a child to understand, a college professor to understand, or a teacher to understand, or maybe guys, even our wives to understand. See, I said that because Alice is off the phone.
Sure. That's what I'll suggest for my wife. Anyway, it's explorer.globes. So I was wondering, because when I was typing it in, I wasn't getting it. So you texted that over to us. Thanks. So we'll put a link to it in the show notes. Explorer, explorer.globe.engineer. Pretty interesting. A lot of great information. Alan, thank you so much for the update.
Talk to you soon.
I'm looking forward to it.